Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour. And we have a great show lined up for you tonight. I had the pleasure of doing the TNT News Hour this afternoon and received some interesting email and even some interesting comments from some of the listeners. Talk show host Chris Hinckley on as a sort of a co-host, and we talked about a bunch of news events that are not being reported in the mainstream, specifically the ineligibility of the two presidential candidates to even be running for the presidency, and that's going to be re-emphasized and underscored on the 8th of this month, about 4 days from now, or 5 days, depending on which part of the country's time zone you're in. We're still in September the 3rd on the West Coast, already September the 4th on the East Coast. And so in terms of East Coast time, 4 days from now, you should be able to be hearing about this second of the Three Stooges coming out in the Idaho Observer. And that's going to feature, of course, Barack Obama's genealogy and an analysis of many of the facts that have been presented to the public and not really challenged by anyone. Chris Hinckley this evening was actually on his own show going into quite a bit of detail about this research and the fact that none of the facts that I brought out about John McCain's birthplace and ineligibility have been challenged whatsoever by anyone. I guess that's admission by silence, sort of like a no-show at a legal proceeding. And I'm certain that that it's going to raise a lot of eyebrows when people really look at the facts behind Barack Obama. Again, we've been handed a bill of goods, and we're expected to just swallow the bait, hook, line, and sinker, and not question anything about the future of our country. Now, along those lines, there are many things going on all over the planet, and some say there's even some things going on inside the planet, and I'm not necessarily speaking about just earthquakes and volcanoes, but much deeper down inside the planet where some very unusual occurrences are happening. And we're going to discuss those things in great detail with tonight's guest. My guest has been on several major talk shows recently and probably will continue to be on talk shows, at least on Evident Footprints, for some time. She is a former UFO abductee. She's also a light bearer of sorts. She's a truth seeker and a truth bringer, if that's the correct term, and also an ambassador of the Hollow Earth. With that, I would like to welcome for the first time as a guest. Tonight's guest is none other than Billy Woodard. Billy, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you.
Well, you got to hear me talk a little bit about what's going on politically, and of course that has a lot to do with the cover-up of other things that are going on. And I think it would be appropriate for the listening audience that's never heard of you, Billy, to give us a brief background as to who you are, and you know, we're going to try to ease into this thing because this is a very controversial topic for a lot of people, but I'm sure one that they're going to find to be very compelling very real and of course, very interesting. So give us a background as to, you know, where you're from and a little bit about your upbringing. And I'm not going to mince words. You can say it however you feel comfortable saying it.
Okay. Well, first off, I was born hermaphrodite. Right? What that means is I was born more female and male in the same body. That's why I have such a deep voice. But don't let that fool you. The rest of me is female. But me and my sister were brought to the surface of Earth in 1951. We were abandoned and left to be found by the authorities and turned over to an orphanage and thereby be adopted by an Earth surfaced family, and we were. And it happened to be an Air Force man. And so we were adopted, and then we were separated as children due to the fact that me and my sister had unusual powers of telepathy. We could talk to each other without speaking through the skill of telepathy. And we spoke in a different tongue other than English. We spoke in a more like a Lemurian or a Tian dialect. And but we did that under telepathy, so no one heard us speaking. But after we were adopted, then we found it necessary to communicate with our mouths. And we did so just before our separation. We were sitting at a diner in Texas, Wichita Falls, Texas, and we were talking to each other verbally, but no one understood us, and except one gentleman that was sitting off to the side, and he walked over to my adopted parents and said, "Do you know what your children are saying?" And they said, "Well, we've given up on trying to figure out what they're saying." He says, "They're speaking in an ancient tongue, an ancient dialect, a mixture between Lemurian and Atlantean. And it's a very ancient tongue, and I've been studying it for all my years in the university, and I understand what they're saying." Anyway, he came over and started talking to us in the same language, and we responded to him. That was our first encounter with the outside world, so to speak. And then from then, we adopted, by the Air Force family. And turned out that my adopted father was not, he was, besides an Air Force, he was also a little disturbed and sexually abused me from age 6 to 10. After which time he spent a little bit of time in jail because of it. But after that, I graduated high school at age 12, which I was quite smart at that time. That's why I graduated at age 12. And I went in the Air Force at a very early age of 15 because of my passing and maxing their tests, so I was qualified for just about everything. My adopted father was stationed at he was stationed at Roswell, and then he got restationed at the Pentagon. And while he was at his stay at the Pentagon, he requested my being stationed there, which I was. And shortly after that, they sent me to a facility in the Nevada, under the Nevada desert called Area 51, where I spent 11 and a half years underground. While I was at Area 51, I took a few trips. One was to the city of Los beneath Mount Shasta by way of a shuttle underneath the ground. While I was at Area 51, that was called by name, requested by name to go to this shuttle station beneath Area 51, which I did, and I came face to face with some very tall individuals. The woman was about 10 feet tall, between 9 and 10, and the man was between 12 and 13, and tall, knew me by name, which kind of surprised me. But they asked me to accompany them into the craft and be escorted to the city of Telos, at which time I went with them. And so I visited the city of Telos beneath Mount Shasta. I spoke with the high priest there, Adama, and also spoke with Ray and Reina, which is the king and queen of the city of Telos. And after that time period, we also took trips to the Hollow Earth, as far in as Yehnu, which is spelled J-E-H-U, and also Eden, E-D-E-N, where actually what would be more preferably called the Garden of Eden, which was talked about in the Bible. That is the home of the Garden of Eden. So after that, I got out of the military because of the genetic engineering going on there, and didn't like what I saw. I saw other things while I was at Area 51, such as saucers. I met Bob Lazar while I was there, and they have a fleet of 67 saucers, and they are controlled by mind control. Basically, what you do is put your fingertips on the console. There's a handprints there, and you put your fingertips on them, and you're instantly hooked up to the propulsion and the maneuverability of the craft, which means if you think to go left, you go left. You think to go right, you go right. You think where you hover, you think to go very fast, you go very fast. So it's all through the mind, power of the mind. So that's my brief background. Cleared some of the air up there.
Okay, yeah, that's quite a mouthful.
yes, it is.
I guess I do have a few questions. Now, it seems to me that one would have to be 18 to go into the Air Force, but they made this special dispensation for you on the basis of your intelligence. Were you able to fly a plane, or had you received training in flying at all?
No, I had not.
Okay.
I was shown how to fly the aeroships by means of a... what you would term as a gray.
Well, I'm speaking about the Air Force, first of all.
I know you're speaking of the Air Force.
Yeah.
The Air Force is at Area 51, of course.
And
so is the Army and a few others. And while I was at Area 51, they told me to see the light of day for 11 and a half years. However, that didn't mean that we wouldn't come out at night, which we did. I was instructed on how to fly the craft and the instructions of this EBE, if you want to call him that.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me instructions on how to fly this craft. Basically, he just said, put your hands on the console and you'll instantly be connected to the ship. And as soon as I did that, I was. I mean, all kinds of instructions started coming into my brain as soon as I put my hands on the console.
Mm-hmm.
So I was instructed on how to fly it. There was no joystick like the fighter planes of today have, but it was actually there wasn't any joystick whatsoever. You just put your hands on the console and you're instantly hooked up to the propulsion as well as the maneuverability or the navigation of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah, that's normally described as a symbiotic ship, right? In other words,
yes.
It's sentient. It's alive, and it can communicate with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Total communication with the mind.
I'm curious now. So you were learning to fly these ships, and this was obviously done with a black ops group, we're assuming. This wasn't black. Mainstream Air Force.
Okay. Projects.
Yeah, I'm sort of asking these rhetorical questions for the benefit of the audience because
no problem, go ready.
Yeah, when they think of the Air Force and special flight training, you know, they get images of the Thunderbirds some special group of pilots that do maneuvers at air shows or they're uh-huh. they're flying planes in the theater of war. Or maybe espionage of a military sort. For years and years and years, we've heard the story that there's nothing going on at Area 51, that the place doesn't even exist.
Yeah,
there came a time when at least we were told it was the Russians that released the satellite photos, and these photos got onto the internet eventually, and everybody could see what Area 51 looked like. And they annexed the area called S4. Now, were you in what is called Area 51 or S4 or both?
Area S4 is located across Groom Lake.
Yes.
From the Area 51 facility. And mm-hmm. I was stationed underground at Area 51.
Okay, you were at Area 51. Are you aware of, and can you tell us what level you were on?
I had access to every level there was.
Okay, from 1 to what number?
26.
1 to 26, okay.
26 levels that are man-made, and then if you drop down to the 30th level, that's where the shuttle station is located.
Okay.
And, of course, that's not our shuttle. That's the shuttle that belongs to the Agarthian network of tunnels that are already existing before Area 51 ever thought about being drilled or carved out or however you want to put it.
Okay. Now, the Agarthian tunnels belong to whom? The Agarthians, you're going to say?
Agarthian network of cities.
Yes.
There's several cities beneath your feet into the Earth's crust,
mm-hmm.
somewhere around 400 miles into the Earth's crust. People are under the impression the center of gravity is in the center of the Earth. It is not. It's 400 miles into the Earth's crust.
Okay. Now, then you mentioned, and I'm sort of jumping around here, but since we're talking about those distances inside the Earth, would you say you were maybe around 800 miles depth when you went to Talos, or is it much shallower than that?
Talos is more of about a couple miles underneath the Earth's crust of the mountain of Mount Shasta, California, Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Talos is located. It's underneath.
I mean, how deep is that?
About 3 miles.
Oh, just 3 miles. Okay, yeah, you were breaking up, so I didn't understand what you were saying. Okay, but there was a point where you mentioned being taken much deeper. Even deeper than those tunnels that you were describing.
Yes, all the way to the hollow Earth, the inside shell of the Earth's crust.
Okay, that's starting to sound like a lot of science fiction movies, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like it, but it's not science fiction. It's actually science fact.
Okay. This has been discussed by a number of authors and researchers and scientists. And so it, you know, it doesn't sound that far fetched, of course.
Right.
We have great difficulty in getting the straight up and up on normal historical events in our textbooks, you know, in our history books even social studies in the 7th and the 8th grade. So you can imagine how much of a cover-up there would be about something like this. Now,
yes,
I would presume that the powers that be on the surface know about the Hollow Earth. Is that correct?
Yes, they do know about it.
Okay. And are they powerless to do anything about it?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not saying they should do anything about it. I'm just saying I would presume that the technology that enabled the Lemurians, for example, to go down there is far beyond the capacity of our scientific acumen. Would you agree with that?
In the past, I would say it's been almost impossible for them to go down there. But now it is being opened up. The way for gaining entrance to Hollow Earth is now being up in the north region, the Isisthenes. In the area where an expedition planned to go, gain entrance to the Hollow Earth, and this will be happening next year. They're going to be going by way of Icebreaker, breaking through the ice on the Russian side of the Earth. And they'll be going to a point of, a longitude about 81, 82, and a longitude of about 141 to 142. And there's an open polar sea there. And people are under the impression there's a solid ice cap on the top of the Earth. They're wrong. There mm-hmm. is an open Arctic Ocean. And when they get to that point, that's where they will see a phenomenon. Well, I say an anomaly, if you will. They will see the outside sun setting, and they will see the corona of another sun shining out from the ocean ahead of them.
Okay. Now, that's something you're saying is going to come next year.
Yes, that'll be August of next year.
Okay. It'd be interesting to see who's going to be sitting in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. when that happens and what their reaction is going to be.
I don't really think it matters who's going to be sitting in the Oval Office, honestly. How would I put this? There's so much going on, politically going on, in the world today. People are concerned about the election that's taking place right now between Obama and McCain and all this. And it really doesn't matter one way or the other who goes into office, mainly because the Earth has started to go through a change. And the change started in 2003, and people are starting to feel it now. They're starting to feel a difference in their physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
People that are listening will probably understand what I'm talking about. Some people are feeling differences in their bodies, and whereas they're feeling more enlightened, more inventive, if you will, more awake instead of being in the slumber. Their eyes are beginning to clear as to what's going on in this world. And it's going to continue going on that way until we finally pass through or pass from the third dimension into the fifth dimension. And that's what this ascension is going to be. It's going to be the ascension of the entire Earth is getting ready to pass into the fifth dimension. When that happens, everyone on the face of this planet that's prepared for it, and looking for the change, looking for the ascension of it, are going to be going with the planet Earth, you know, into the ascension. The ones that aren't ready or unwilling to accept this change will be removed from the planet and taken to another planet that will be still in the learning stages, if you will. So this started in 2003, and mm-hmm. now it's gaining momentum. And also, when this happens, once we passed over into the fifth dimension, that's when we will see what we haven't been able to see, such as life on Mars, life on Venus, life on Neptune, life on Saturn, life on every planet in this solar system. There's life on the planets as well as in the planets.
Yeah, that's something that I've covered a number of times on this show with a variety of guests over the past year or so. And I'm inclined to agree with that assessment for a variety of reasons. But just from my own personal experience, I would have to say that I discern that there is life on many of the planets and that we've been handed a bill of goods. Now, interesting thing that you mentioned regarding whether or not we're really experiencing global warming, we know this is a hoax. I'm wondering what role Al Gore is going to play when this event takes place next year, next August. What if he's going to get the credit for that, or have they taken some precautions to make sure that ruse ends?
Well, the global warming hoax, and that's what I call it, because I've been informed telepathically that the reason that the ice is thinning at the North Polar region and also the South Polar region, the reason this is happening is for the preparation for the success of the expedition leaving next August.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it is, it's opening up a waterway to the ice where the icebreaker is going to go through, which will be the thinnest portion of the ice. And they won't have any difficulty getting to the open polar sea. The purpose of this ice melting is to clear a way, or clear a shipping lane, to where people in the future will be able to go in and out of the hollow Earth.
Okay, now, if you were able to go in through Mount Shasta, why wouldn't they just use that opening?
Well, that opening... for one thing, you have to be invited to go, and you have to have a guide to go into the city of Talos.
Uh-huh.
And there's a stipulation of getting into either any of the entrances or the Hollow Earth, for that matter. The people that are going on the expedition next year are going to have to prepare themselves for entry. What I mean by that is they have to totally and completely forget everything they've ever been taught in school or through religion or any other training or schooling they've ever had, because they're literally going into an entirely harmonious world. The people in the Hollow Earth are 100% harmonious. There is no negativity allowed, period, in the Hollow Earth. You can't be thinking negatively. You can't be thinking exploitation or anything like this, because you won't be allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be thinking on a positive level, positive attitude, positive thinking, and thinking harmony at all times. So the team that's going in, or going up to the Arctic next year, even from now to the preparation of them going, and even after they start going, they're going to have to go through meditative classes to get everyone involved in one accord and in one mind to go in, because it's not going to be like, well, you know, Jane will go, and Jim will go, and Jack will go, and it makes no difference what they're thinking. It does make a difference what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They have to think positive. They have to be positive thinkers. They have to be harmonious thinkers, loving one another, no bickering, no fighting, no discord of any sort will not be allowed. And no weapons of any sort will be taken into the hollow earth at all, such as the icebreaker that's going to be taking them, the crew members of the icebreaker. If they choose to go in with the team, they can't take any sidearms with them of any sort, rifles or anything, tasers, anything that's going to do any harm to anything, because the Hollow Earth people and the inhabitants, whether it be plant, animal, or otherwise, are all peaceful, and they won't have any reason to take these weapons with them, because there's no need for them.
Well, that makes sense. It's hard to dispute that. Now, I guess what's probably going through the minds of the listeners is, what side of the bed did Billy Woodard get out of this morning, if you know what I mean?
I understand this, and
what you're saying is very credible. Don't get me wrong. I'm not judging what you're saying.
Yes, I know what they're thinking. They're thinking there's no way that somebody's going to be able to take 100 people and convince them to be harmonious 100%.
Well, not just that. I mean, the whole concept,
that's going to have to happen, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying the whole concept of what you're presenting right now on Evident Footprints is probably a very uplifting message in a way. And at the same time, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So, I'm not even playing devil's advocate. I'm just giving you the opportunity to maybe further establish, some sort of a foundation. I've always suspected this, and I've sensed that there's something going on there. We have this phenomenon of the aurora borealis, and it's always explained to us with the same kind of spin that was given me when I spoke to a JPL project manager some years ago and talked about the alien presence on this planet, and I asked a rhetorical question of this individual.
Yeah.
You use the term, and you use the same term, and this is why I'm bringing this up. You use the term EBEs, or extraterrestrial biological entities, is the term they use, EBE. And I use that term with this project manager, and I said, I made sort of a sarcastic comment and said, don't you think it would be wise to search for some terrestrial intelligence before you go outside this planet and looking for extraterrestrial intelligence? And I said there's a lot of proof coming out that there's something going on underground, and of course he poo-pooed everything I said, and then he decided he was going to send me a brochure on Project SETI and to inform me of all the people that had their names inscribed on a plaque and the disc that had the Michael Jackson music and, the various pop artists that they selected for this to get this message out to another planet. I couldn't think of anything higher than AM radio music. But that's the approach they took. And he poo-pooed this and told me that without calling me nuts, he was implying that I was. And then some 2 weeks later, first of all, the JPL was about 15 miles from where I lived, so I could have received the mail the next day. But he sent the request to Washington, and it came, I don't recall the specific address on the envelope, but the return address, was marked Department EBE, which I thought was extremely ironic. Here this guy lied to me about knowing anything about it, and the very department was called EBE. just a little twist of irony there, and so I knew that that the whole program was nothing but a smokescreen for what was really going on elsewhere. And, of course, much more information has come out about NASA's public space program and the fact that they're virtually duplicating everything on the West Coast. When they launch a shuttle from let's say, Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy now, that there's a mirror image of another project being launched maybe from Edwards Air Force Base, as an example, or Vandenberg, maybe it's from Area 51, who knows. But the point is that that where they're going and what they're doing is being masked by this public presentation that they give us every 3 to 6 months on all the news channels.
What did he tell you about the Aurora Borealis? What was his explanation for that?
Oh, we didn't even go into that conversation, but I'm just talking about mainstream. They always describe it as an electromagnetic phenomenon that causes light rays to be emanating into the atmosphere. That it's just an anomaly, and I sense that it has something to do with the hollow Earth and probably a sun within the Earth.
You're correct. The Aurora Borealis. What it is, in essence, is the central sun is shining out through the polar openings, reflecting off of ice crystals called crystalline, and it reflects back to the Earth as a halo of light.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens not only on Earth, but also on every other planet in the solar system. And they've seen it through the telescopes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's exactly what it is. It's the central sun shining out through the polar openings of all the planets, and it creates this northern and southern lights. That's all it is. It's not electromagnetic. It's not a reflection. Not reflections from the sun. I've heard several instances as to what they think it is. It's not any of that. It's basically the central sun that shines out through the polar openings. And it reflects off of ice crystal, reflects back to the Earth as a halo of light. And that's what the Aurora Borealis is. So when you see the auroras, you're seeing basically a reflection from the light from within the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that visible from space? Let's say if there's a craft which is circling the Earth, or from a satellite, for example?
Yeah, they can see the central sun.
Okay, they can see it. So they know about it. So we're just being handed another lie, aren't we?
The North Polar regions, if you ever try to get a picture, a satellite photograph of the North Pole, every time they send you a picture, if you're able to get one, it's always been touched up. You can see clouds covering. But I have on my computer, and I'm more than willing to send you a picture of it, copy of it, of the two satellite photographs that kind of slipped through the mainstream back in the 60s. And I have those, and it shows a distinct hole at the top of the Earth. So, and no cloud cover at all. And it's a distinct entrance to the hollow Earth, and it shows it. So, whenever I see these others, I just laugh because they've all been touched up. And that's the only kind of photos that you can get of the North Polar region, if you are able even to get some.
Oh yeah, they even touch up the photos on Google Earth, so
yeah, of course they do.
It's no big mystery, or there's a key piece of real estate that you're looking at, and all of a sudden, you cannot zoom past a certain focal point without it blurring, and it's not that way in the average town. It's when you get to a certain place that's not intended to be seen. I mean, why right. even bother putting it there on the map? You know, it's almost comical.
Yes, it is. It is almost comical. You know, a while back, actually it was one of your other shows I was talking on, and we were talking about, we had gotten on the subject of age, and it was talking about the aging process and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down what I wanted to say here. I just have to pull up my notes
yeah,
here.
For the listening audience, that was when you actually called into the show as a regular listener.
Yes, I did. Okay, yeah. Now we were talking about the aging process. In other words, if your bodies wouldn't age if you didn't count the days as years getting older.
Mm-hmm.
If you count the days and years as your journeys around the sun instead of aging, then 30 years, this is an example, then 30 years would mean 30 trips around the sun instead of 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Trips don't age you, but years old does. If you would just change the words from years to trips, you would gain younger years. It would start, your age would start reversing instead of going forward.
Now, you'd want to be careful how long you did that, because you wouldn't want to go negative and over to the other side.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you will get younger if you change your vocabulary and start saying, I am 30 trips around the sun. But see, as long as you don't acknowledge that you're getting old, you won't get old. It's like a power of suggestion coming from people around you saying, oh, you look this old, oh, you look that old. You know, don't let that enter into your mind. You eliminate the word aging from your vocabulary, and you will stop aging.
Yeah, I understand that totally. In fact, I had a near-death experience where everyone was freaking out but me, and I looked at the doctors and said, what are you so worried about? Well, you're about to die. That's concerning us. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm pulling through this.
Yeah,
this is a temporary setback.
Who says I'm dying?
Yeah, exactly. And of course, everyone was relieved, but they were astounded when they heard the things that I shared with them after the fact. You know, when I did come back.
Okay, I'm about to shock your audience and do a reality check here.
Okay.
Concerning pollution or disease, cures and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Cures for pollution and disease. Now, we have the answers to all your pollution problems. This is people speaking from the hollow earth. They have your greedy politicians and secret governments have created your problems. And that's because they want to control you. And by controlling you, I mean, you know, control your way you live and everything. And we will put technologies when we come out to the surface, which will be happening after they come out into the after the fifth dimensional shift. They will be bringing technologies with them that will solve all the pollution problems and your health problems. Once your health is clean, once your pollution is cleaned up, your diseases will vanish. Your diseases are only caused by polluting your air, water, and foods. That's the truth of the whole matter right there. It's the poisons that you've been putting in, you're constantly putting in the atmosphere, nuclear explosions, through chemtrails, through whatever means, your jets flying through the air, aircraft and beginning, you know, that exhaust coming out the back of the jets. All this is creating poison in your atmosphere. That's what's causing your diseases and your sicknesses and your birth defects. All of this is stemmed from the government putting poison in the atmosphere. And all you have to do is clean it up.
Okay, is it okay for me to ask some questions here?
Of course, go right ahead.
Okay, now, is this message coming, you had mentioned on the show that you called into the other night,
yes.
that this message might be coming from Zora?
Yes.
Okay, explain, just for the benefit of the listening audience, who Zora is and your relationship with Zora.
Zora is my biological father. And he resides in the hollow earth as we speak at this time. And he has been sending me telepathic messages all the time I've been talking to you, as well as the other day I was talking to you as well. He was sending telepathic messages to me to give to this information out. And he's doing it again tonight, which is nice. Now, I do have the ability to have him speak through me, but I don't do it for certain reasons, but because it might upset people, but and it probably would, but he is a very, very knowledgeable individual. He's funny, and he's very knowledgeable, and he does enjoy talking. I'll give him that, but like I said, I'm not allowing him to actually speak through me. Because my voice would change, and that would cause some people, probably to freak out. So, I'm going to have
okay, I'd like to ask a question, and you can sort of telepath. I know that Zora can tune in and hear what I'm saying as well, just by reading what you're hearing. So, this is sort of and this is not a self-serving type of question, but I've had people. For lack of a better word, the New Age movement, in other words, those that are trying to think outside the box and look at the spiritual side of things, say that, you know, you pay attention to what you know, all the evil, the negative things that are going on, and you attract these things to you. And I understand that concept, but you just mentioned some very valid reasons why I talk about these things. You mentioned chemtrails. If I didn't talk about chemtrails and you used the word chemtrails, no one would understand what that problem is, what that phenomenon is, what's being done to our air and the amount of disease that's being spread around and how sick people are getting. So your use of the term substantiates the reason why I have been bringing this message out. And I'm not the only one doing this by any means.
Of course.
But would he agree that it's important to discuss these things to the extent that we understand that they are realities in terms of what's being done to us intentionally?
Absolutely.
Okay, he would agree with that then.
Yes.
It's
important that this information gets out. Absolutely.
Yes.
Chemtrails are definitely a problem. And I know you have, but your listeners out there, I'm just wondering if they've ever seen flashes of green light appear in the sky. If they have, then what that is, it's nothing to be worried about. What that is the Hollow Earth people are shooting beams out through the polar openings into our atmosphere to clean up our atmosphere and the air and the air around the Earth. Because it's helping Mother Earth to evolve. See, Mother Earth has to be cleansed and also cured and healed before she can evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And the air around the planet is part of her life force as well as ours.
Yes.
And it has to be cleaned and purified in order for this change to take place.
Yes, and so, while that cleaning is going on, the pollution is still continuing too. So it is
continuing. So it's working, starting to clean up the atmosphere, but yet it's still battling against the powers that be of this world.
Okay. Now I have in regard to the chemtrails, and I want to briefly describe a phenomenon that we can summon to help and assist in the cleaning, and I'm interested in what Zora would say about this. Ken Adachi, who operates a website called educate-yourself.org, or educate-yourself.org, Ken is a very good journalist and researcher and a metaphysical scientist, and we have been sharing pictures of sylphs that we can summon when we see chemtrails. We just say a short little prayer, basically, asking them to come and help clean up the chemtrails. And within a short period of time, the chemtrails, which normally spread out and form big cloud banks, and then they do their thing, of course, what they're intended to produce in terms of contamination and the spreading of disease that's killing plants and animals and affecting people as well with Morgellons disease. We have captured on film, both in video and photographs, of the sylphs actually manifesting within the image of the chemtrail. In other words, they take on the toxins in the chemtrail. They eat them up. It's the best way we can describe it. You see the chemtrails disappearing, and you see them manifesting. Are they familiar with the sylphs and where they're from?
I believe what I'm getting is that they're familiar with them, and they are allowing them to occur because they do help clean up the atmosphere. Is that what you wanted to know about?
We're sensing that they're celestial beings, almost, let's say, of the elemental or maybe the lower angelic realm. That we could say the elementals in the air, for that matter. Ken and I have captured, in reversing photographs of saucers in the night sky, we have been able to spot entities in what would normally be considered just a black or a dark sky at night. We have reversed the photos to where you can see that these craft are operating on antimatter principles of propulsion, and that field attracts these negative entities. And these are very demonic-looking entities that are following the craft, much like a dolphin would follow a ship, if you know what I mean. So I'm referring to the sylphs sort of as an elemental being, maybe from the angelic realm. Now, the dictionary defines them as imaginary or mythical, but I can tell you, when you see them clean up the chemtrails, there's no myth about it.
No, there's no myth about that. Yeah, that's the angelic beings that are working to do that. Another thing, here in the Hollow Earth, this is coming from Azura, here in the Hollow Earth, we never pollute anything, as this word does not even exist for us. We live in complete harmony with our surroundings, and our people know that we are part of each other.
Mm-hmm.
We would never do anything to harm one another, nor would the thought ever cross our minds. We feel only love for each other, and love for our surroundings, and love for Mother Earth. This love is a component that is missing on the surface.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask how they saw us in terms of caretakers on the surface. We're not doing a very good collective job, I would presume. And
basically what they said, this is, you put everything before love, and you lost your sight and you lost your way. It is now time to return love back into your lives, and this will solve all your circus problems in the quick of a wink.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. That it has been a message that's come through more than once.
Yeah.
From a variety of sources. I mean, that was Jesus' ministry, was one of love.
Uh-huh, it is. It says, we follow your thoughts from below, and we send our love to intercept your thoughts from above, hoping to gently guide you into a state of pure love in your thinking process. For when your thoughts become the beacons of pure love radiating from you, you will bring peace and harmony to your surface civilizations. That is all you desire. That's all that you all desire so much.
Okay.
That's pretty profound.
Yes. In that context, are the people living in the Hollow Earth aware of the presence of let's say visitors in our atmosphere who are watching what's going on here on the Earth and maybe not interfering but at some point possibly ready to intervene to assist us in this process that we're going through? Are they aware of them, and is their intention to work with them?
They are working with them.
Okay.
Absolutely. No entire world has ever crossed over into a fifth dimension at once. It's always been in a gradual thing. But in the case of the Earth is going to pass over from a third dimension into a fifth dimension as one complete world. And that's never been done before. So all the your galaxy, all your civilizations are around the Earth watching this take place. And it's like the Earth is a showplace. Sort of like the finishing of a play. And we're coming up to the final curtain, so to speak. And they're watching just to see how this is going to be done.
Okay.
So the Earth is definitely under a lot of eyes right now, being checked out by several civilizations from without.
Yes. Now, I can go along with what you're saying just from my own personal experience. I had the opportunity to stand in a few energy vortexes on one single property. And when I was standing outside, one of the vortexes was actually centered in a building. And there was a place to sit in the center of that building. We could call it a conference center. And, of course, one would be impulsed by the incredible flow of energy there. When I was outside in a patio area that overlooked a whole valley surrounded by mountains, there was one mountain on the east side of the property that was an ancient Anasazi Indian burial ground. And it was basically, to the Anasazi Indians, it was a holy ground. And as I stood in the outside vortex and looked at that mountain, I saw the mountain move up about 3 feet. I saw two mountains at the same time.
Right.
And I understood that to mean that I was seeing the fifth dimension. I was seeing, for the time I was in that vortex, seeing that shift take place. And I stepped outside of it, and when I stepped back in again, I observed the same phenomenon. And came away feeling that I had actually moved into the fifth dimension temporarily.
Uh-huh.
So I'm basically agreeing with what you said. Now, I've also had the ability to carry that feeling with me, if you understand what I mean, that I'm not dependent upon standing in that energy vortex to experience that shift. I recall what the feeling was like and what my thoughts were like.
Right. As you're ready for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're ready for it. As there's you along with 29 million light workers that are upon the face of the planet at this time. 29 million. The goal is to have 55 million before 2012. And that most likely will be accomplished. And that's when the Earth will do its final shift over into the fifth dimension. And that's also when all the doors around the Earth will be opened, and all the subterranean cities will come out to welcome us into their brotherhood or sisterhood, or however you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be bringing forth knowledge beyond our imagination. Another thing is, it's also coming from Zora. It's really important that this gets out. The cure for all diseases already exists on planet Earth. Today is a celebration for us in the Hollow Earth. We are celebrating our climb into light, and we've reached a certain level of growth that we have been working toward for some time. It's the whole new way of looking at life. It's reaching another step on the ladder of evolution. It's an exciting time for us as we embark on this, experiencing this whole new perspective to life. Each level we reach is an eye-opener. And we wonder wonder how we couldn't have seen this before. This is similar to eye-openers on the surface as the way of life evolves. More and more, the unseen becomes the seen. Now, this is happening to you on the surface also. More and more is being revealed to you on the newscasts, newspapers. It is an exciting time for you, too, which is being revealed has already been known for decades, but it kept hidden from the public. For all the light reaching the Earth, the secrets that are being exposed, because the light exposes everything. It is only the darkness that covers up. For you are in the right of your life, as everything that has ever been kept from you will suddenly come out in the media. What a shake-up it will soon occur. The medical groups, corporations, and governments that have been covering up the cures for diseases and then spreading billions of your tax dollars to find cures will be exposed. These groups caused the diseases in the first place. They could easily have been stopped them years ago. Instead, they've used disease and profit generator to a way to make billions of dollars at the expense of the suffering humanity. All disease have been caused by corporations and governments polluting your air, water, and food with chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, fertilizers, biological germs, and you name it, along with the destroying of rainforests and the cetaceans. All they have to do is stop this pollution and rid the earth of its effects. But in their greed, they expose the expense of the humanity and the earth has prevailed. For they will all be exposed and exactly for who they are, profiteers in the worst sense, whose goal has been to rape and destroy the planet and its people. We have no diseases in the Hollow Earth because we grow everything organically. We know and reverse the connection between our Earth and our lives. We know we are part of the Earth, and whatever we do to her, we do to ourselves. As more and more humanity reconnects themselves to nature, they will understand how to eliminate all disease and destruction on the face of the earth.
Yes, that's a profound message. Now,
sure
you,
is.
I'd like to bring up something that you mentioned when you called in. I think it was on Monday night when I was doing my monologue. You came forth with a rather strong message as a caller into the show. And
yes.
For those in the listening audience that did not witness that event, you brought up toward the end of the message the concept of forgiveness. And, of course, we've learned this for many years. This has been taught us. It's in the Bible. Jesus spoke about forgiveness.
Of course.
And I think there's an aspect of forgiveness. One can certainly contemplate the totality of what forgiving is, and one must be able to forgive themselves for the wrongs that they've done to others, as well as the wrongs that others have done to us. And yet, while we are busy forgiving in our totality, and that definitely would at least liberate us from the matrix, from this paradigm of control individually,
yes.
And then as a result, collectively, we are still being permissive about the wanton murder that's going on in a variety of manners, whether it's starvation, poisoning of our food, poisoning of us, using us for sadistic, biological, or genetic experimentation, and the creation of wars.
Yeah.
Or let's not forget ritual sacrifice also. And
oh, yeah.
And the many, many perverted acts that take place under the guise of pedophilia or the sex slave industry or mind control programs. We were dealing with a variety of topics here, but there's a sort of a dichotomy in forgiving and permitting all of this to go on at the same time, because these people doing this, if they're even people, have no compunction about what they're doing. They're going to continue creating this chaos until they're forcefully stopped by some or overtaken, completely overtaken, if you get my meaning. What would Zora say about that aspect? Because in a sense, we're being hypocritical in forgiving them for what they're doing while they're still doing it, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Well, in order to pass over into the fifth dimension, you have to be clean. You're in your mind and your body and all this. You must be clean. And basically, by forgiving what people are doing to you or what you've done to others, and you also send out that vibration of being wanting to be forgiven by them as well, you also send forth forgiveness to them. Unconditionally, not expecting anything back, because as long as your slate is clean, that's it. You're going to make the shift, and that's the most important part right there. You want to be able to make the shift with the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I understand that concept, Billy. I think more specifically what I'm saying is, you know, there's such a thing as an altruistic act, a selfless act to save save another from going through something that they really don't have to go through. Unless, you know, maybe I am usurping the law of karma and I'm interfering with it by doing that, but, If I know that someone could be taken out of this matrix or this paradigm of control outside the box, brought outside the box to see that they've been controlled all along, they wouldn't necessarily have to succumb to a vaccine or brainwashing or mind control, the poisoning of the water and the food, or starvation. They wouldn't be entrapped in a situation under the pretext of fighting terrorism and giving up their life senselessly for a ruse, for a lie. I think
true.
These things are important, too. Because I think if many of these people actually knew what was being done to them and who was doing it, they would make a different choice. So part of my mission is to bring that awakening.
Yes.
You know, as a light bearer. So this is the aspect of I don't have a problem forgiving. I can forgive completely, but then I would think at that point I've got to find another job. my mission now has to become something else. There's a bit of a dichotomy in that.
That's true.
What would Zora say about that? That this is a little bit of a problem, and I'm sure he's probably got a very simple answer, but I'd like to hear it.
Well, I would say, let's see.
We're still here.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I'm just letting the listening audience know we're still on the air.
Yes, we are still on the air, absolutely. Do you remember what? Okay, I'm trying to think. When I called in before, what was the subject on? Do you remember?
Let's see, that Monday night I was talking about how they're pulling the wool over our eyes, at every turn, and I was talking about things that were going on all over the planet in a general sense, and the smoke screens that were being put up by the powers that be to take our attention off of all the money laundering and the theft, massive theft that's occurring all over, as they're intentionally trying to destroy the economic system of this country, and with the goal of enslaving us all.
Right.
This is a reality that people are facing that is going to cause many people to lose their lives if they're not made aware of what's going on. And this is the type of thing that I'm talking about right now in terms of what my, a part of my mission has been is to expose these things and make people aware of these things so that they can be empowered to make a choice. I'm not trying to make the choice for them, but I think it's futile to take on a mission. Anyone that's taking on a light-bearing mission of sorts is going to be doing it in their own way according to their gifts and their abilities and what they feel in their heart, what they're compelled to do by the Creator himself. So we're all impulsed in a different way. We're all not doing exactly the same thing. We've all got our own way of going about it, our own style. We have different amounts of knowledge. We're all vibrating at a different frequency, and yet we all belong to each other. We're all one with each other. And so
we're also all one with the hollow earth, too.
Well, yes. So I'm seeking out an answer, or at least a response. I'm trying to get a response as to how is this taken, or how is it so easily dismissed as something that's just going to happen, and we just have to let the cards fall where they may. Why give us any solutions at all? Why not just let the cards fall? You know what I'm saying? In other words,
I just know what you're saying. Zora's he's sending me a message here. He's saying, here's what he wants to say. He says, all forms of life are presently on earth are opting for the ascension. However, some will ascend with the earth and with us at this time. And the others who have been unconscious or their inner choices unwilling to ascend at this time will do so at a later time. Know that the earth's ascension is assured and that we will all be moving our location closer to Helios, which is our sun. The people in the hollow earth are overjoyed with the rise in the frequency that has taken place over the last few years. We have yearned to connect with you in the physical, and now connection is fully assured. We can even guarantee that this, as you would say above, yes, you are above us, but depth of location is irrelevant. For the peace coming to the planet, all life will be assured of rapid evolvement to make up the lost days of darkness. Humanity has learned its lesson well. It has learned the futility of war, bickering, and cries for an end to the insanity. And the end is coming. You are witnessing the last eruptions on the surface. From this point on, you will begin to see the merging of peoples, places, and principles has all come together in one united earth. This is the day God has been waiting for. This is your day your holy selves have been praying for. This is the day you open up the tunnel and exit and come to you, and our brightly colored robes and sparkling sandals, bearing gifts and immense riches and necessary devices that will return your planet to its pristine state it once knew. For we can solve your problems of sickness and pollution in an instant.
That's one heck of a message there.
I think that might have answered your question.
Yeah, you know, I sort of expected that answer anyway, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Like I said, he is a profound teacher, or message giver.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows I don't ask that question out of insecurity or doubt.
No, that's why he gave you a whole page, so to speak. Okay. He just told me, he said he will have more information for you on the 18th.
Okay. Well, he knows about that show then.
Oh, yeah. He's quite aware of that show. He said he's going to have some more information that will be beneficial for your listeners. And he definitely wants to, bring that out to you. He said, the main ingredient right now is love is the key. And he said, if you look at evolution, the first three words of evolution is love backwards.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that, don't realize that. They just think evolution is just a word, evolution. But if you look at it closer, the four letters is backwards.
Yeah, and I mentioned this to you off the air, the word evil backwards is live.
Yeah, and Eve backwards is Eve. He's definitely wanted to bring this to you guys. Another thing, he got something else he wanted me to say here.
Okay.
All right. Okay, greetings, brothers and sisters of the light. We reside inside your precious earth, ever ready to communicate with you. We have been here for hundreds of thousands of years, waiting for the glorious day to appear when we can begin our communication with you on a regular basis. The time frame is now. All those intent is pure can connect with us through your heart flame. We have the same heart flame as you do. It is the one flame of the Creator's divine spark of life. We're all connected through the heart flames, lighting up the world by our linkage. As we turn our connections on with each other, our auras become generators and transmit our light out to the universe where all can see it. Wow.
Yeah,
that's profound.
That's another heavy message. In terms of the, I have another question here, if I'm permitted to ask it.
Of course.
It is my show.
So. It is your show. You can ask whatever you like.
In terms of all the atmospheric disturbances going on, we know that there is weather engineering going on. And, of course, these are just more of the insanity or the pathological practices of those controllers that would just do whatever they could to produce fear and uncertainty and to cause us to lose faith in God.
Right.
And so we have earthquakes taking place. We've experienced some volcanoes. And
yes.
I can sense, and I think many of the listening audience can sense when an event is actually Mother Nature at work and when things are being manipulated.
Yes.
And like when you called into the show last night and mentioned that the same thing was being discussed on Coast to Coast. I let Spirit guide the direction of the interview. My guest nor I didn't know what we were going to talk about on the show.
Right.
And that's actually something probably very surprising to a lot of listeners because they think we plan these things out all the time. And sometimes, you know, the truth is going to force its way out of us one way or another. I mean, it's going to come to us. And when that inner voice says, you know what, don't plan anything tonight because there's going to be a visitation. You know, there's a message, a higher vibration is going to come through tonight. And you're going to talk about some things. And things that need to be sorted out, things that are on people's minds, things that people are becoming obsessed with because of the uncertainty of the integrity or the lack thereof behind what's occurring.
Yes.
How do they see these events that are being intentionally perpetrated? You know, the earthquakes and the controlling of the weather systems. Can they influence that, or is it just as simple as us putting out the vibration of love to nullify or neutralize these events?
Well, take the event that's supposed to take place in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
October the 18th, the earthquake.
Yes.
Now, that by sending out, if everyone were to send out love toward Los Angeles, it would not. It may not stop it, but it might lessen the effect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that. I mean, having a possibility of a magnitude of between a 9.6 and a 10.2. earthquake in that area would be devastating, horrifying. If everyone was to send out love toward the city of Los Angeles, they could probably lessen the effect and, you know, not stop it, but because it's a zipper and it must release pressure there, then you could probably lessen the magnitude or wouldn't be as severe. But as far as now the controlling of the weather, it's going to shock a lot of people out there, especially some of your listeners from the East Coast, especially from Louisiana, to know that Katrina was brought in to the New Orleans on purpose, and it was done by your government's weather control device. And that's going to, you know, upset them. But that's what happened. And that's also what happened with another hurricane that did a loop-the-loop out in the Atlantic Ocean and came back up and hit Florida. Because hurricanes just don't do that. Not without being coaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that I have... surmised from the very beginning when that event occurred. And I mentioned to you, I think off the air, that there was a sort of a multi-dimensional imprint that it was an image that was on the NOAA website. And about a month before the hurricane actually struck, and there were three light bars that were photographed, very large, I might say, over the western end of the Gulf of Mexico, off the coast of Florida, several hundred miles, and or not Florida, Texas, and the hurricane over New Orleans appeared in that same photograph. Just as it struck, in actuality. So we were looking at, I would say it was multidimensional physics. I don't know what Zora would say about it, but it certainly looked like it was plotted out to happen. And it happened like that.
Zora wants to answer a question that you have in your mind.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. And then correct me if I'm wrong, but you'd like to know what Zora looked like.
Actually, I wasn't worried about that, but I would presume he's very tall. He might look several feet taller than the tallest of our basketball players.
Well, he's about to describe himself to you.
Okay.
My eyes gleam with crystal light. My skin is soft as a baby. I am 15 feet tall and hefty and stronger than any ox. I can jump across streams, wade through rivers, and climb the highest mountains without tiring. I am in perfect condition, although I am over 480,000 years old. And I remain in divine perfection, as we all do here in the hollow earth. No thought forms exist here, no thought form that are less than divine. And we all... all we think we become. It is the law of life. You too are realizing this on the surface. Hence, you witness the upsurge of your transformational workshops taking place, where you are taught that what you believe you create. It is a simple law of life.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, he's a pretty tall man, I would say. You could.
Yeah, he's definitely a tall fellow.
You could stand two of me on top of each other, and I would come up to maybe his waist.
There you go. There you go. I'm 5'11", and I'm considered an Amazon. We don't have any streets. We have paths lined with flowers composed of earth. That is so that our feet are always grounded. And we often walk barefooted as our earth is clean and pure and massages our feet as we walk. It is the same feeling as you're walking on your sandy beaches. Our feet are strong and healthy as a result, and our feet are not cramped or from the constriction of shoes, as yours are.
Mm-hmm.
The center of the earth...
Go ahead.
He's talking about the central sun here. The center of the earth is a place of exquisite beauty and unique in charm and dazzling with light of our people. And they mirror the face of God in all of God's perfection. Our forms are perfect in proportion and luminous with light pouring out from every cell. We don't need artificial lighting, as our very own cells provide all the light we need. Our light plus our inner sun lights up our inner world perfectly, and of course it's all free, with no electricity bills to pay. We generate all our own electricity and light, and we each power generators of energy supply, and we all need, in terms of light and heat, our homes and workplaces. Of course, we have help from our crystals, coupled with electromagnetism, generate all the power we need to meet our needs. And you will find this to be so on the surface in due time.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with that as well. I know some scientists and inventors that have struggled their whole lives to bring new concepts to the forefront, and because it can't be metered or because it doesn't make the huge profits that capitalist corporations are intent on making, basically stealing from us, they've not come to the forefront, and it's time. You know, there's a hue and cry for those things to change, and so there are a lot of every time they mention a new energy, it's something that is going to take billions of dollars to research and test and develop, when we know that's not true. It's the usual
spin.
And
that's not true.
Yes.
It is not true. He wants to say something else. He wants to say something about his ocean and beaches in the earth, in the hollow earth.
Mm-hmm.
Our water is alive with consciousness. We all spend much time on our beaches, walking on the sand along the shore and swimming in the ocean, clean, clear water. The water in our oceans and rivers is composed of living consciousness, and it is our water's consciousness that keeps us forever young. Your water is the elixir of life, and it is pure, and in its pure state, it can change your bodies and actually bring the dead back to life. It can bring life back into each and every cell, thereby increasing the flow of consciousness into your whole body and bringing full consciousness back into every living cell.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I've had visions of that occurring.
Uh-huh.
And I know some others that have thought about the same thing, that it's a consciousness that goes beyond the molecular makeup of a molecule of water.
That's right.
And now I have a question for Zora.
Yeah.
I express this often to a few of my friends. I make a statement along the lines of I'm working on remembering to fly. I know that we have the ability. This is part of the average human on the planet has the ability, if they can remember the process of levitating or even flying. What's his opinion on that, or do you want to make a comment on that?
Flying is a definite possibility. In fact, in the hollow earth, you can fly. Because now I'm going to have to explain that. Basically, it's sort of like you've seen the movie Superman, right?
Mm-hmm.
He flies around, right? Okay, now what enables him to fly is because he defies gravity. So basically, in the hollow earth, the gravity is only less than a third what it is out here. So basically, if you were to weigh whatever, however much you weigh, you should divide that down to where you're only a third of what your weight is. What could you do weighing that much? You could jump higher. You could literally float. Fly. And once we have transitioned over to the fifth dimension, we will have that ability back. It will be back in our remembrance, and we will have that ability to travel wherever we wish to travel, without a plane, without any means of transportation. We will think, and we will be there.
Yeah, that's sort of the concept I've been describing.
Yes.
And I feel personally like I'm on the cusp of that recollection coming. And really, it's sort of a consciousness. It's not a mental process, if you know what I mean.
It's, yeah.
Because I'm at the cusp of that feeling, you know.
Yeah, right. He said he's talking about the, he's still talking about his oceans here. Okay, he says, our water talks to us. Our shorelines are packed with the purest of sand, white, colored, and soft as crystal, clear. Specks of the smoothest particles you have ever stepped on. Walking on our sandy beaches is akin to having the best foot massage possible. We do on our beaches, and for the very purpose, for its massage soothes our feet and minds simultaneously. Our ocean waves lap our seashores, and with the purest of and cleanest water you have ever seen or tasted. And the temperature is always perfect for our bodies, not too warm or too cold. We walk into the oceans where it is shallow and swim out great distances without ever getting tired or cold. No one ever drowns. This is unheard of and unimaginable. We are all swimmers, and our oceans and lakes support us up, so we always stay on top of the water. Our water has consciousness, and it talks to us while we are immersed in it. Yes, our water talks. When we swim, our water becomes part of our body, and we are one body. One ocean, swimming along currents through the waves, we merge ourselves completely with the water's consciousness, and our swim is a trip of consciousness itself. It is so much that when you experience it, you will experience it on the surface. Lakes and oceans where the consciousness of water has become densified and polluted and has lost its voice, virtually in force. It weakly calls out to you, but you don't hear it. It calls out to you for help, calls out to stop polluting it, stop bombarding it with EF sound waves, to stop the whale tips and underwater experiments, oil spills, submarines, crew tips from destroying and poisoning life forms. Glass, it rests on deaf ears. But children of Earth are so deaf to the destruction they are causing the Earth. It's only the Greek politician who know what they are doing, and they do it purposely to destroy the Earth for their personal gain. In the name of bolstering economy, everything is for the economy and nothing for the Earth and its people. Families don't count anymore, only the state of the economy counts. Never hear about state of the family on the news. It's always the state of the economy you hear about. Well, here's a dose of reality. When there's no longer any families alive, there won't be any economy either.
Well, that's very true. In fact, I often say if you take the economy off the table, in other words, you take the gold and the money or the dollars, the Federal Reserve notes made out of thin air, and just get rid of them, where is the power that these people have? They have none. So it's all an illusion, really, is what we're talking about.
So if you want to help yourself and your Earth, it's only through your returning your surface oceans and lands to their pristine state that you will return a perfect economy where everyone lives in abundance and perfect health. The inner Earth oceans contain all of the life that's in the upper oceans and more. Our oceans are teeming with life, and all marine forms live in harmony with one another. All are on a vegetarian diet and do not hunt others. All live in harmony. All marine life is very evolved compared to the life on the surface oceans. We are used to the peace and safety of our waters and all of the accessible to us. All we communicate directly to the citizens, the live, cooperatively, in peace and harmony with one another. Since we are all vegetarian diet, we don't hunt whales, go fishing, or farm shrimp. For Mother Nature is free to evolve in our oceans, and other oceans are sanctuaries to all ocean life. We just call to whomever we want to talk to, and they swim to our shores and converse with us through telepathy. It would be seem truly magical to you, but to us it is commonplace. Remember, all of us in the heart know we are one, and so shall you.
Before we end the show here, Billy, maybe I could ask one more question. Okay, they're saying we could solve our problems just by healing the waters.
Yeah.
What would be the most effective way for the average man or woman to go about aiding in that process in light of the fact that most of the pollution is being orchestrated by the powers that be, the military-industrial complex, the large corporations that are dumping toxic wastes into the ocean? What's the most effective way immediately that we can turn this around?
Okay. Here's what I'm getting direct from Zora. He said, go to your nearest body of water, walk into it, and love it. Give love toward it, love vibrations toward your water, and it will heal itself. But it needs the love vibrations from all of us to help it heal itself. Just our thoughts of goodwill and love toward all the ocean life, no matter what form it is, to just give love out to it. And give out love toward the planet. Go hug a tree. Go talk to a tree. Trees do communicate if you listen. Have you ever gone and sat under a tree, and just actually listened to them talk to you? They will talk. You just have to be willing enough to use, to open up your imagination, which is real, by the way. And it's not something that you try to your little kids, don't use your imagination because it's bad for you. Wrong. It heals the body. Don't go that route. Don't go that trip. If you want to, take the babies that are being born right now. All the babies that are being born now are a new generation. They're a new creation. And they all have the capability and the ability to ward off any sickness or disease that's in the world today. So don't let them get inoculated, because what that does, that dulls the senses and that kills the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow it. Don't let them kill your newborns, because that's what they're doing. And the inoculations that they're talking about, which is supposed to be good for the babies, are not good for the babies. It dulls the senses, it fogs the brain, and it keeps them under subjection.
Yes.
Don't allow it.
Yes, that's totally agreed. Plus, it causes disease and further complications.
Yeah, it gives them their childhood diseases.
Yes. And it just compounds throughout life. It just becomes
an endless
progression of disease.
It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
And, but that's what it is. I mean, Zora just gave me that profound message right there, because he said it's very important that the women out there that are pregnant right now do not allow. In fact, if you want to have the best child, to have a birth of a child, have it in a pool. Because what that does, that gives the baby a remembrance of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they come out pure. They come out more enlightened. And they'll find out when they start growing up, the parents will find out that those kids are a heck of a lot smarter than they were, than they would have been if they were got born in a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we know the powers that be are trying to outlaw all that midwifery and natural childbirth.
Yeah.
They're trying to criminalize that.
Yeah, they are. Dan, I think it's stupid. But, I mean, do it the right way, of course. You know, don't just go and jump in a pool and have your baby and keep the baby in the water.
Especially when there's people in there swimming, you know.
Right. I mean, do it the right way. Yeah, prepared pool for it. And actually, it's a ritual in Hollow Earth. Everybody gets in there and they start singing, and the mother goes into the water, the elixir of the elixir of life or the ocean, and they have their baby, and everyone's singing and having a joyous time, and it brings the baby into a world of love, and believe me, that really affects that child from that point on. From that point up to then when they start growing up and learning. And plus, the parents will find that the kids will be smarter and more resistant to disease and sickness, and they won't have to worry about taking them to the hospital because they have everything they need in their body to keep them pure, to keep them cured, and you keep them healthy. Just don't allow the hospitals to pull a wool over your eyes saying, oh, they have to have this inoculation. No, they don't. And you can refuse it.
Yeah. Now, taking it one step further here before we conclude this show, which we're going to have to do within about 2 minutes here. You stressed in your call the other night the importance of us eating locally. Eating the foods that are grown with the vibration that exists where we live.
Where you
and
live. Don't go out and buy food. Don't go buy foods that have been shipped across the country or the world for that matter. And don't go buying food in your stores by thinking that you're getting a good deal or whatever, because you're not. You're buying someone else's problem.
Mm-hmm. And
you're buying someone else's disease. You're buying someone else's vibrations. You don't want that. You want local fruits and vegetables that are from your local area. That will reverse your sick problems. Less visits to the doctor, and cures for everything you can think of, including Alzheimer's.
Yes, absolutely. It would make sense for us to work on our water immediately, since all life depends upon water, and the cleaner the water, the higher the vibration of the life force is going to be, and that would include growing food. If you were growing your own garden in your backyard, let's say, and as a means of producing certain plants that you wouldn't necessarily have to go out and buy in a market. Now, not everybody's capable of growing corn or wheat or certain kinds of nuts or berries, but they certainly can grow 40 or 50 different vegetables in their backyard. And it's very simple. You start the plant by planting the seed and watering it, and let nature take its course. Make sure
I'll also emphasize, whenever you have a garden, even if you have one now, go out, make yourself a 12 by 12 inch pyramid, put it on a pole, where it would be termed as the apex of the pyramid, glue or tape or whatever, a crystal there, put it on the end of the pole and put it above your garden, right in the middle of your garden, where where actually you have lines now, but you have like invisible lines to make a pyramid over your garden. And what that will do, that will eliminate any pests, spiders, potato bugs or whatever that destroy your crop. It will get rid of them because they cannot stand, their nervous system cannot withstand the power of a pyramid.
Yes, and you're saying to put the crystal inside the apex of the pyramid, inside,
yes,
right?
Yes, put it on a pole,
yeah,
a copper pole, something that's not magnetic, in the center of your garden, maybe up about maybe 12 or 13 feet in the air, and then this will cover, and that, well, you won't, it'd be like lines going into the ground that will make a pyramid over your garden. And not only will it kill the insects in your garden, or not kill them, but it eradicates them. It'll get them out of there. It won't kill them. It'll just drive them out. It will also vitalize your garden. You'll have tomatoes the size of a grapefruit. You'll have watermelons that are three or four times their normal size. They did this up in Alaska because of their long growing season up there, and they've got cabbages up there as big as you. So I mean, they did this. They put a pyramid above it, and it created these giant, humongous cabbage up there. And then you can do the same thing with your garden down here or wherever you are. Just put, I mean, if you're having trouble with garden insects that are eating into your fruit or your vegetables, I just showed you how to get rid of them without hurting them. It'll just drive them away. They won't go in there. I had a greenhouse made out of a pyramid, you know, plexiglass type thing, and I didn't have any spiders or nothing in there.
Yes, I can vouch for what you're saying too, because I've done a lot of experimentation with pyramids, and the concept you're describing. Since the pyramid, and we're talking about a true pyramid now, we're not talking about equilateral triangles. We're talking the measurement of pi and psi have to be within that structure. So the two sides that elevate up to the apex are going to be slightly shorter than the base. You know, we can probably publish those dimensions for people. I've done quite a bit of experimentation in audio speakers and other devices, and
You can take a small little 12-inch base pyramid and put it over an anthill. If you want to test my theory, if you want to test out what I'm saying to you, put it over an anthill and watch how quickly that anthill stops production.
Yes. Yeah, the ants will run out.
They will leave. They will leave.
Yes.
They will not come out from underneath that pyramid again.
And the principle, you know, this is basically just contemplating what is going on. When you have a sacred number that is an unending decimal, in other words, the number goes on to infinity, if it's in a physical structure, even though your senses, your visual sense, sees the structure ending at the base. If you put it up on a pole, in principle, that structure is extending outward from what's the bottom of the pyramid.
That's right.
So that line extends into space and actually goes into the earth.
Yes, it does. And what it does, everything that's underneath the circumference of that pyramid will be free of any bugs. Any bugs. I don't care what kind of bugs they are. Spiders, black widows, whatever. Black widows love to sit and make their nests in tomato plants. And so does your potato bugs and squash bugs, and they ruin your crop. But you put a pyramid over your garden, I guarantee you, you'll never have to worry about bugs again.
Yeah, so these, and I can tell you too that I've witnessed, I've grown my own cherry tomatoes where people came and saw my garden and they said, "Wow, look at these market tomatoes." And I laughed and I said, "Those are cherry tomatoes."
Exactly. go wet.
So, you know, this is something that works, definitely.
Yeah, and before I part with y'all, I'll just tell you this. In the hollow earth, the grapes now, when we're talking about grapes are the size of a plum or bigger.
Makes a lot of wine, doesn't it?
Sure. Well, I don't know about wine, but it makes the grapes big. Your strawberries are about the size of a good-sized softball or bigger. Your watermelons, well, forget about watermelons. You roll over and crush a VW.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Billy, we're out of time. This has really been interesting, and we didn't get one call from the listening audience. They're probably sitting on the edge of their seats or their beds or wherever they're listening to the show.
And Zora said that you wait until the 18th.
Okay. Ask Zora quickly what he thinks of Evident Footprints and BBS Radio, if you would do that.
Yeah, hang on a second. He agrees with everything you're doing, and he applauds you for it.
Well, thank him for that. What about BBS Radio?
He agrees with what they're doing too, because they're putting on a lot of real good information, such as Brooks Agnew's show on X Square Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on that show too. In fact, Brooks Agnew is the one that's going to be heading the Hollow Earth expedition next year. Yeah, he agrees with this radio program and also the BBS radio in general, because a lot of good information is coming out on it.
Well, that's good. Well, we'll keep it coming, and I'm let him know I'm looking forward to the 18th. That's a special day in your life. We'll save that surprise for that day.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. And like I said, he said he's going to have more information for you at that time concerning Lemuria and more about the life in the Hollow Earth and what it's like and what we can look forward to when we go down there for a visit, when we're able to do it on a regular basis.
Okay, well that's going to be quite interesting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm sure the email is going to start flying. So.
Oh, I'm sure they will. He's really going to burst some bubbles about the dinosaurs. He has information about dinosaurs that's going to blow the socks off if you know anybody that does geology, it's going to blow the socks off of them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
About like the T-Rex and some very interesting facts about the T-Rex that
people
don't know about. And he's going to bring out that information about.
All right, well, Billy, we're going to have to cut it short now. Our engineer has got to go home, or his wife's going to hit him on the head with a rolling pin. And she may do that anyway, but we don't want to be the reason for that happening. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to your next appearance on the 18th.
If you want to call me after later on this evening from your home, feel free to do so. I'll be
okay. Okay, very good. Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Billy Woodard, will be with us again on the 18th of September. Do some browsing on the internet. We're not asking you to believe any of this, but it's quite interesting that what I know about metaphysics is coming out in this information that Billy brought forward. And there's a lot of synchronicity and a lot of truth behind everything that I heard tonight. Don't judge it until you've given yourself a chance to discover some of these things for yourself. And if you enjoyed the show, by all means, still do some research and let your friends know about it. We have a great show lined up for you tomorrow night, Dr. Bill Deagle will be my special guest on Evident Footprints. And we're going to be talking about some of the very issues we talked about tonight, but from how it's handled here on the surface of the Earth. In the meantime, special thanks to Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and Seth Hendricks for doing such a great job on the sound. And to all the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.